and welcome to the 100th episode of the Pop Pop and Napcast. I'm your host, TJ Deitch. I want to apologize for not having another episode for a while. I was looking at this year's posts, and it's pretty terrible. I think I've had about 8 the whole year, and we're already pretty much done with summer. But I am restructuring everything. I've got a new format, and I have my very first guest of all time, my lovely wife, Emily Carlton. Go ahead and say hi.
Hi.
Awesome. Perfect. Now, you're a huge fan of the Pop Pop and Napcast, isn't that right?
Yes, I've listened to all 99 of them.
Now, here's the big question. Are you going to listen to the one that you're on right now?
Probably not.
Good. I never listen to the ones that I'm on. So, a big part of the, moving forward after the 100th episode is that I want to be a little bit more structured. I want to be a little bit more on time. And so, we've kind of broken this episode down into some different sections. I actually looked back. Can you believe I've been doing this since 2013?
It's been that long.
Yeah, it's been over 2 years. I should have had far more episodes by this point. I probably should have hit 100 like 4 months ago.
I think one a month is not that bad.
Well, that's very generous. I appreciate that. We've had a huge year. To recap, if you're a new listener for some reason on the 100th episode, we bought a house. My dad moved out here first, and then my mom did. They now live in our old condo. Our daughter went through her first year of school.
All the Jack.
Had baby.
All the Jack. Much Jack.
He's a lot going on, that kid. And, we had a good summer. We had a couple vacations that went really well. And we're doing all right. It's super hot, though.
Yeah, you should do less in the summer anyway. That's true. I forgot all the vacations. You can't record on vacation.
That's true.
It is super hot. It is very hot in here.
Before we had 2 kids, I would try to get an episode recorded and ready to go by the time we went on vacation. But that just doesn't work anymore. It's impossible. It's barely possible to record. I don't even know when this one's going to go up. I'll get it cut
as I can. We've been talking about it for about 2 weeks.
We've been talking about it for about 2 months. I think the first time I asked you was...
We had a layout for like 2 weeks, though.
Yeah, that's true. I have an outline, which is probably a first since the first time I recorded. I don't know if I've ever told you, when I first started this, I think I recorded about 3 hours of material that I never used. I deleted it all because it was garbage.
So you're going to delete all of this?
Oh, yeah. Most of your stuff, and then I'm going to keep my stuff.
It's just going to be going,
uh-huh. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to make cartoon voices for the cat. And that will be my
new
guest
host.
Yeah,
the cat is here.
Yeah.
He loves adult, hangout time.
He does. He's weird like that. So, let's get into the segments. I guess the first one, since this is a parenting podcast, is the kid catch-up section. We have 2 ourselves, our 4-year-old daughter Lucy and our 1-year-old son Jack, who's 16 months now?
As Lucy would say, one-ish.
One-ish. I like that a lot, because counting all those months
is... Yes, it's 16 months.
Too much. Too much work. So, they're doing good. Jack is clearly about to hit a milestone. I think you would agree.
Yes, we've gotten some more sleep than usual, but also a lot more clinginess.
Oh, man.
Some new syllables.
Yes.
And new pointing.
Yes, lots of pointing. I was telling my mom earlier today, it reminds me of those old PC games where, you would see the screen, the location of something. And you would be, in the left-hand side, and if you just clicked, and then you would walk over there, him pointing is the clicking, and we just walk around with him in our arms.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he understands about 95% of what we say to him.
At least, yeah.
And he just is trying to make it work to come out in more than just a, eh?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, so he's got buzz. He can say dada, but he doesn't. He says mama almost constantly. He's like a Pikachu. If his name was Mama. And, I guess a Pokemon, technically. I don't want to offend anybody. And he was doing pho this morning or yesterday. So do you think he was asking for soup?
No. I don't know if he likes pho. It's a little spicy.
Oh, man. I made really good pho that one time. Sorry.
It's too hot for pho. Focus.
It is too hot. It's too hot for soup, and I love soup so much. And that's a whole different section of the podcast, so come on. Quit trying to distract me. So he's got all these sounds down, and he gets really frustrated when we don't know what he wants, which is most of the time.
And he has a word for belly button. It's weird.
Buh, buh, buh.
Yeah. But it's clearly means belly button because he points to it.
Yes. That apparently started as a game at my parents' house because he would poke our daughter's belly button and she wouldn't make this big deal about it, this big, huge laughter, which he loved. And so then they kept doing it. And now he wants to poke everybody's belly button and everybody's supposed to have a different laugh. He's very complicated. But, so yeah, I think the milestone's probably talking related. He seems more frustrated by that. He's got his weird hobble crawl that helps him get around pretty well these days.
Yeah, he'll walk with you, but he's not super interested in it, and he likes to just kind of walk from thing to thing. He's definitely stood up on his own, but he doesn't realize he's doing it, so...
Yes.
He's that interested. He does love climbing, though, so I don't know. It could be walking or talking. Who knows? We're not going to know until he does it.
Yeah.
Or it could just be sleeping through the night. That would be fabulous.
I don't think so. Is that a real milestone?
It would be for us.
That would be amazing. He also, you mentioned the climbing. a couple weeks ago, I got a boyfriend pillow, which is what my wife calls this pillow that I have.
Because that's what it is.
I never heard it before, but I believe her. Even though I think she's trying to embarrass me. But it's got, like, the little arms that come out, and I use it to sit on the floor and play video games or watch movies.
It's those pillows they sell when you go back to college for girls to put on their bed to sit and read with. It's called a boyfriend pillow.
I believe her. I'll put a link up if you don't know what we're talking about. I'll even put a picture of the actual boyfriend pillow. Ooh, the internet. So, like I said, I put it up against the couch, and I'll play video games or watch movies after everybody goes to bed. But I leave it where it was, and so in the mornings, I noticed I was kind of looking over to one side, talking to my daughter, and then I look over to my right, and all of a sudden, Jack's up on the couch right next to me. And I was like, whoa, how'd you do that? And he's climbing everything. And you had something like that happen to you yesterday, right?
Yeah, all of a sudden he was up, I was sitting on the floor, and he was like up behind me on the couch, and I didn't think of it until I realized I did not put him there. I've also caught him up on the sink. Like, not on the sink, but he gets up on the step stools we have for Lucy, and he had, like, his chin on the edge of the counter at the sink, like, trying to check out what everything was up there.
Oh, yeah, and he's tried... Our bathtub upstairs is, like, sunken into the ground. It's still maybe 8 inches, 6 inches above the floor.
Like 10 to 12.
And he will... I keep catching him putting a foot up to try and, like, climb in.
He's
pretty
like
much everything.
A foot up thing.
He's trying to get into everything. You showed me a video online of a little girl who was a rock climber, and I think he would totally do that. We should try him on the...
On the little rock wall? But he'd have to wear shoes. Can't wear shoes till he walks.
Okay.
It's a rule.
It's a rule. And then Lucy is doing good. She's precocious, as always. Today, we were watching Discovery Family or some channel. For a long time, and listeners will remember this, she watched almost exclusively Disney Channel and PBS, which is great. But what you don't realize once you move over to Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network or Discovery Family is that there are a butt-ton more commercials for products. And I think literally everything she saw today, she wants.
I want that. I will put it on my Christmas list.
Yes.
I want that. I wish I could have that.
My dad was here to watch the kids a little bit this afternoon while my mom went home, and she asked my dad for, I want to say, at least 5 or 6 things for Christmas or her birthday.
She knows who to hit.
She knows who to hit, and she also, she could remember them all, because she goes, okay, I just want one thing for my birthday. Okay, I just want 2 things. And by the 3rd thing, my dad goes, what are the 3 things? And she rattled them off like crazy. She knows what's up.
Oh, yeah.
So she's doing good. She actually starts school again in a couple weeks.
Like 3 or 4 weeks.
Which is crazy. She's in her second level of preschool.
Mm-hmm.
And the school she's in is awesome. She really seemed to enjoy the first year of it. She met a lot of friends. I am a little concerned. Because I think she expects the school and her class to be exactly the same, and it's not.
Yeah, we've kind of had a talk about that the teacher was going to be different. I was able to point out to her by memory, because her memory is so good, who her new teacher is, who she met like once last fall, but she remembered. But she does still think she's going to have, I think, regular chances to see, like, Miss Carrie and Miss Vanessa. And it's like, well, we're going to be in a different room, And it's at the same time as Miss Carrie and Miss Vanessa are teaching, so you might see them. Because I know when she was in the other class, they, I think once or twice, went on a hike with the bigger kids. Mm-hmm. Now she's the bigger kid.
Yes.
So she may get some interaction with them. But not a lot. And it's going to be all different kids, too, because I don't know anyone in her school that was going to be in the same afternoon class. But I don't know. We didn't, like, question every single parent. I kind of wish they had told us, like, hey, guess who's going to be in your class next year?
Yeah, because the way it's the first level of this preschool is 3 days a week.
And then 2 days a week.
2 days a week, you're right. Tuesday and Thursday.
3 day, but we didn't do that one.
And then for the second year, it's broken down into
you can do three,
3 days a week.
Or five.
And then the five is split between morning and afternoon. Right?
Yeah. It's a, right. Yeah.
So I heard a lot of the parents talking. And, you know, Lucy's a very social kid. Some of the kids in her class are, like, painfully shy. And I being a painfully shy person myself, I can relate to that. But I was sitting in the lobby waiting to pick her up one day, and I heard some of the shy kids' parents talking about how shy they were, and that they were worried that 5 days a week would be hard for them. And then I heard a lot of other people were saying that the morning class would work better for them because it doesn't interfere with, like, the nap schedule as much, which is something that we experienced. Although by this point, she doesn't really nap anymore. She fell asleep on the couch today at 7:30.
She's pretty much cut that nap out, so I'm kind of glad we didn't make a decision based on naps, because that was kind of a concern for us, but not like a huge one, since she can give or take a nap.
Yeah, and at this point, I mean, the naps for a while were as much for me as they were for her, because I needed the break, but now with my mom here, and now that she's older, I mean, our son took a nap like at 9 this morning before my mom came over, and Lucy was hanging out in the living room by herself, no problem, while I did some work in here. So it's not that big of a deal anymore. But our thinking was that it would just be easier timing-wise to get her ready in the morning and get over there. And the reason we went with the 5 day instead of the 3 is that we thought it would be one less thing to have to get used to when she goes to real school next year.
Yeah, because kindergarten here is full day, 5 days a week, taking the bus and everything. And we were just, it was the transition of 3 day, this school's only like a 2 hour class. So 3 days, 2 hours at a time, then going to like 5 day every day just seemed like a really big jump.
Yeah, it would have been a lot. And we were trying to just like, with each year with each grade, we want to just kind of like inch her up a little bit closer. And plus, I mean, I think she's going to love it, because one of the things that I've noticed about her over the summer is that she's been not too bad, but a little bit bored. I think she misses the kids being around and seeing them. She's such a social little animal that she just loves kids, wants to be around them. She hasn't had that, which I think bums her out. But I do think that the 5 day a week.
Right, it's 3 hours.
3 hours at school, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that timing will work out well for her. As far as how we're going to be here, I know my mom and I have talked, and we're pretty excited. Like, it'll give my mom and Jack time to do something on their own for a little bit, now that he's kind of a little bit more present and enjoying doing stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I go that far. But he enjoys being out, and you can take him in a grocery cart and he's fine and all that kind of stuff. But I do think she's going to miss some of her classmates. The school that Lucy goes to has a lot of military families. We're not far from West Point and a couple other places, and so people get transferred a lot. And so I think even if, you know, some of the kids that she knew were going to be in the same class, they're not around anymore. I think, like, 6 kids almost are gone?
Several kids. And when we were talking about they're having, like a play day to kind of everyone can come and maybe meet each other, she was like, oh, I hope I see so-and-so and so-and-so. And at least one of them, they moved away. And I had to remind her, you know, they don't live here anymore. Her daddy had to go work somewhere else, and so And she understood, but I mean, it's still going to be hard. And everyone I've talked to at the school says this afternoon class is a smaller class, which is nice because you get more teacher interaction. But she is such a social butterfly that hopefully there will be kids in there that she gets along with. She seemed to get along with everyone. I mean, almost everyone came to her birthday party, and they all really like her.
Yeah.
And everyone seemed to talk about how much their kids have talked about how much they like Lucy. So she's a social butterfly. She'll be fine.
Yeah, the only thing that I've noticed at, like, the playground and a couple of the school functions is that she can come on a little strong for some kids. If a kid is real reserved, it can be hard for her. But overall, I think she'll do great. I think she's looking forward to it. She's got a Paw Patrol lunchbox, which she's super stoked about, and, like, 10 backpacks. So she's prepared. Oh, we still have to get her a composite notebook, which...
Yes, that was a requirement.
I'm a big fan of that style of notebooks anyway. I feel like I'm always talking about the kids with sleep. You mentioned it before. Jack is down to one nap, basically, now. Although he keeps changing it on us. The last 2 days, he fell asleep really early on the rocker with me, which had not happened for a few weeks. It's like he learned all my tricks and then won't have anything to do with them. But now he's doing it again. It seems like he's been going down easier this week. Would you say that's the case?
Yeah, he's been pretty good. We've only had, like, one re-wake this week. And the week before, we went away last weekend.
Right.
That week was really great. There were several nights where he didn't wake up until around 2 a.m. Yeah. But Monday night, the first night we were home, he was, like, attached to me all night.
Yeah.
And it was a lot.
Yeah. And it seems
when
like...
Did he come to bed last night? I don't even remember. Maybe that was late, because I don't remember. That's probably a good sign.
Gosh, I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't even know who got him. That was one of those nights.
I got him.
I think you got him. I don't remember.
Yes. Maybe?
But yes, the less napping during the day seems to be leading to more sleep at night, depending, mm-hmm. which is another reason why, like we said, I think he's getting close to a milestone, because he's really putting on the sleep.
Which is good. I mean, the naps are key. I mean, for him, you know, when they're this young, again, I mean, I know whether it's me taking care of the kids or my mom, like, you do need that little bit of a break. Because during the day, he's very, not even needy, but just vocal about whatever he wants. Like, you know, the pointing, the grunting, the screaming. I swear I'm losing hearing. I haven't noticed anything yet, but I can't imagine I'm not. Because especially when you're holding him and he lets loose one of those screams, like, right in your ear, it's no good.
Yes, it's Jack and not the concerts you've attended in your lifetime.
I've been to a concert. I've been to one concert in, like, the last 10 years. It is all Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Not Kiss. Twice. But, yeah, so he seems to be doing better. But, like, with everything, I mean, the only piece of parenting advice I ever really paid attention to was when our friend Adrian told us that, like, as soon as you feel like you've got a pattern going... they'll just switch it on you, and that's pretty much been the case.
That's so funny, because that's, like, the one piece of advice I always pass on to people.
Yeah. Well, I don't...
Because it's so true.
It's so true, because they're so tricky, and, you know, they're changing every minute, practically, and every day, and they're learning stuff, and, I mean, like I said, it was like he figured out all my moves. I can't sit in the rocker in his bedroom anymore and rock him back to sleep at night. That did not work. But the other night, I picked him up, and I started kind of bouncing him while he was, like up and down in my arms, and he fell back asleep. Now, if I had tried putting him back down the week before, no way. And so, who knows? And he's actually been a little bit more cuddly with me, which he isn't always. Like, when I picked him up from his nap today, he kind of put his head on my shoulder and you know, liked me for a minute, so.
He cuddles with you in the morning, you just don't know it because you're both sleeping.
That's true. He also...
It's adorable.
He was also sleeping in later last week.
Yeah, till like 8 every night.
Yeah.
Or every morning.
So I think that might be why he's falling asleep so much earlier, because we got up at 6:30 today.
Yeah,
and then
the past couple days
he dozed at 9, which is 2.5 hours. And Lucy's sleep is good. We went to visit my parents' house in Michigan for a week. When we came back... Before that, she was really good about her bed.
Mm-hmm. For all week at the lake, she was great.
Yeah, she slept in a bunk bed, like, right outside.
She'd go to bed late every night, but whatever, it was vacation.
Yeah, she slept right outside our room, never woke up once. But then when we got back, it was like murder. Like, for the next week, 2 weeks,
every night.
She was waking up, screaming. And it was rough because, you know, we get a little bit settled. You know, you usually go to bed earlier than I do, almost always. And so, like, and it's tricky. When Jack wakes up, he doesn't wake Lucy up.
Thankfully.
Like, she's a super heavy sleeper. But I do worry when Lucy wakes up, because she wakes up and she's, like, scared, like, terrified almost. And so it's difficult to kind of get her to settle down. Also, like, sometimes when she wakes up at, like, midnight, and if she'd fallen asleep at 7:30, she's like, all right, let's do this. Let's go downstairs. Let's watch TV.
Yeah. She forgets.
And so it's like, no, you've got to go back down. And so I would lay down next to her bed, and a couple times she tried to crawl into our bed, which she hadn't really done for a while.
Yeah, and that's when she gets upset. She's usually pretty quiet as she, like, pads into our room. But then when you tell her just to go back to her own bed, she gets kind of upset. And then if Jack's a pretty light sleeper, if he's in our bed and he hears her voice, he automatically thinks it's time for him to get up. And he's like, because he loves sister, and he knows if she's awake, then he should be awake. And so then it's like you have to put them both back down, and it's the worst.
It's a lot, yeah. If they're both awake at night, it's pretty crazy. But this week she's been a lot better. I think every day this week she's stayed in her bed.
Yeah. She came in early this morning when you guys woke up. But, I mean, she went to bed early last night.
So. Yeah. And, I mean, she fell asleep at 7:30 or before 7:30. I think I put her in her bed by 7:30 today.
Yeah, so tomorrow will be an early morning again.
Probably. Yeah, which is difficult, but not terrible. I think that's pretty good kid catch-up. Anything else you can think of about what they're up to?
Pretty
standard, I think, 4 and 1 year old type stuff. So we're going to move into a section called Media Play. I don't know if anybody remembers that store. It was sold books, movies, and CDs.
I don't think was a New England store.
No, well, so it was awesome, clearly. It was basically Best Buy with a book section. So I would look at CDs and trades, and that's about it. But the point of this section in this is...
You mean like Newbery Comics?
Oh, don't make me jealous. The point of this section is to talk about the books, the movies, and all that kind of stuff that they're into. We actually just watched Bedknobs and Broomsticks last night.
Yes, which apparently TJ thought he had seen and had never seen because he's like, there's Nazis in this?
There's knobs in this?
What's happening? What are these weird ghost people in the beginning intro credits?
The tapestry? Yeah, what I knew about Bedknobs and Broomsticks. One, Angela Lansbury was in it. Two... watching that movie as a kid made me take the brass bed knob or the bed knob off of my brass bed when I was little, which is now Lucy's bed, and I can show her how to do it. And they traveled around on a bed. That was about it.
That's a cartoon soccer. Big part of it.
Right. That's all I knew. But I watched most of it with you guys. I was kind of going up and making dinner and stuff. But it's pretty fun. And that last scene with the battle with the knights and the
spoilers
for a 50-year-old movie.
In 1970.
71, I think, yeah. So, but it was fun. Lucy was not interested whatsoever.
She got interested towards the end. Yeah. She liked it when it got cartoony, of course.
Yeah, that was the part I was upstairs making dinner for.
The credits, she was like, I don't think I like this movie.
She was not interested whatsoever.
Ponies.
Yeah, well, she always wants to watch ponies. But it's funny because, like, we watched that movie Babes in Toyland, which I did a post about a little while ago, and I probably talked a lot on here, which... I've gone from being into the first time to realizing it's awful to being okay with it again.
Nope.
I'm the only one in the family that thinks that, aside from Lucy.
Oh.
But even she hasn't wanted to watch it in a while. And then she liked Mary Poppins, but I try to steer away from that one because it's like a 2.5-hour movie. It might go all day. I don't know.
It's like Sound of Music. It just keeps going.
There's 9 tapes somehow still. But... I figured this would be a slam dunk, especially because the guy from Mary Poppins is in it, and he's nice and funny. Nice-ish.
Yeah. At the end, she said she liked it, but she did not... Did she ask to see it again today? That's usually a pretty good indicator, so...
No. Actually, honestly, since we moved into this house and we got cable and so many more channels through cable and on-demand, she almost never wants to watch movies. There's almost always something on that she wants to watch, which is... it's not really bad because I don't have to watch Frozen 19 times a week or whatever. And it does make movie watching experiences a little bit better because I know I'm not going to have to see it a bunch of times. But it's just an interesting change. So yeah, that was fun. We got the Blu-ray from Netflix, and it was good. Speaking of cartoons, she's been really into, like, My Little Pony, like Em said, and Paw Patrol is a pretty new favorite, which I kind of love that one. I wish it had more lady dogs.
Yeah, it only has that one girl.
Yeah, which stinks.
She's not even on the lunchbox.
No, there's only three dogs on the lunchbox, and she's not on there. She didn't make the cut. Skye. She's got a cool helicopter, though. It's a good, it's a neat show. It reminds me of the cartoon Mask from when we were kids, because it's like they're all specialized and they have cool costumes and they all have cars that transform, basically. But yeah, that's a fun one. Now, I did want to talk about a couple of cartoons that I know that you're not super into, at least one that we know for sure, and one that I don't actually know how you feel about. And so let's talk about Monster High first.
I've never seen an episode.
Right.
But they kind of... It kind of creeps me out. I'm not a huge fan of monsters. I've, she got, like, this, like, doodle book in part. It was one of her birthday gifts. And she likes to, like, do the pages. And some of them have directions. And when I read them, I am not a huge fan because it'll be like, who's your big, draw your biggest crush? And I'm like, I don't know if this is a 4-year-old appropriate cartoon. This might be more geared to, like, an older set of children. And she really, the only reason she has any exposure to it is her friend who is 7 is a big fan of it. And her younger sister, who is she's 7 now.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Her little sister is Lucy's age, but they both love it because the older sister, Abby, has more exposure to it. And so her little sister, Zoe, likes it. And so automatically Lucy likes it because they like it. And they're cute dolls. It's not like they're ugly or anything. Like, they're not creepy ho dolls like the Bratz dolls or anything, because she has one. But I don't know. And I haven't seen the cartoon, so I guess I shouldn't pass super judgment on it. Although my mother-in-law did see an episode with her, and she then went to TJ and was like, is this an approved cartoon? Have you checked it? Which gives me pause if she took the time, because I can't imagine the things that TJ watched when he was little. It was probably, like, you know, the cartoons we used to watch.
Super tame by today's, I mean...
Like He-Man and stuff with the fighting and He-Man, the Ninja Turtles?
If you watch He-Man, it was actually because the parents groups really got on him. He-Man never even punches another living thing. He'll punch, like, stone monsters, and he has a sword, but he never really does anything with it. But I get what you're saying. The concern that I had when we first kind of went into it was the Bratz thing. Like, the Bratz dolls just seem gross. Like, they're...
They are gross.
They feel like they're sexualizing dolls for children, and then that...
They are.
You know, makes that carry over. But I was looking at the... She had her Abby Bonnable. Bonnable.
Abby Bonnable.
But she calls it Abby Vonnable.
Oh, okay.
Which is adorable. Doll out next to... Because she got it for her birthday. She had it out next to, like, her princess collection from Disney. They're not really that different. They've actually got
I don't think they're, like, skanky or anything.
No. I mean, they're a little scary. Okay. I don't think... But the monster thing doesn't really bother her. Because, like, she watches Scooby-Doo...
I don't think it's scary. I just don't know if it's geared towards her age. I think they're like high schoolers, and it's a little weird to emulate high schoolers when you're 4 years old. I did talk to a friend at work, and her point that she really liked it was that it teaches acceptance.
Right.
Like, you know, no matter what you look like or what you're into, you can still all be friends and get along, and I guess that's the whole point. But I don't know. A child watching a show about people in high school kind of weirds me out, but then again, we let her watch Barbie, so I don't know.
Right. Well, also, we watched Saved by the Bell when we... I mean, you're always watching...
Well, I totally watched 90210 when I was too young to have been watching it.
Right.
I think I was probably, like, 10.
You're always watching shows about kids that are older than you. You know what I mean? Like, there's always that interest. And I don't even think she understands that... Like, because she watched the Equestria Girls, the My Little Pony spinoff, and those are set in high school.
We do love Teen Beach Movie.
We love Teen Beach Movie. And I told her she hasn't watched any Monster High since my mom said that, you know, came to me. And I don't even remember why my mom, like, what it was about specifically. But I did tell Lucy that I would watch some. I haven't done it yet, but I got to get on that, watch a couple, and kind of see how they are. And I will keep you posted. The other cartoon, in addition to Lucy enjoying it, the other connection here is that my mom also came in and asked me if the show was okay. And that is Adventure Time. Which I did a post on Recently, I got a review copy of the 5th season on Blu-ray, which, as always, looks spectacular, but gets pretty weird right off the bat. But one of the things that I said in that review is that watching things like this can give you context for discussions later on down the road about different issues that might not come up. And be like, oh, hey, do you remember that time this happened on... Do you remember that time when Finn made a wish and it changed reality and then he had one arm and he looked different and all that? Here's how that relates to real life. But I get the sense by the intense head shaking you're doing that you are not a fan of her watching Adventure Time.
I mean, I love Adventure Time. I love cartoons anyway. But I feel like Adventure Time is skewed past her age group. Right. And I know that it's got subtext, where that's, which is why it's so enjoyable to people of many ages, but I think 4 is too young to be watching it, even for its cartoon quality. Because it does get pretty weird. Like, Marceline's dad is straight up scary.
So scary.
Like, it's not appropriate for a 4-year-old.
But what if she's
not scared
of it? Luckily,
she's not prone to night terrors.
I mean, if she's not...
What's his name? The heart walking around? There's a lot of creepiness. The Ice King is super creepy.
Ricardio.
The Ice King is super creepy.
Yeah.
Keeps trying, wants smooth princesses. LSP punching the lumps out of herself so she can be smooth for him. I don't know, man. There's too much in there for her.
Yeah. I almost feel like if she was 8 or 9...
Don't forget about the knife rain.
I feel like this stuff has no context for her. I mean, the scary imagery, sure, because like you said, Marceline's dad is just terrifying. There's the lich running around.
Oh, yeah,
he's got, like,
lich
a skull
is terrifying.
Face.
Oh, my God. That scared me.
But I was watching, you know, I was in the room with her when we were watching the first disc of season 5. And there's some, like I said, the first 2 episodes are an alternate reality. The art style is different. You see, like, dead Ice King before he was Ice King, when he was the cool guy with the glasses. And none of it bothered her, though.
Well, I mean, it doesn't bother her on a level you see, but you don't know what's going on in her little brain and the connection she's making. I don't think it's appropriate for a 4-year-old child to watch.
Wow. You and my mom agree. There was the.
And I know she hasn't seen it in a while because we were looking at something and she saw Jake and she's like, oh, that's that show that I watch sometimes. What is that guy's name? And the other guy with the white hat. So she hasn't watched it in a while, clearly.
Yeah, that's true. It's obvious. It's strangely not on as often, because sometimes when I bring him upstairs to cook, because our kitchen is upstairs and our main living room is downstairs, there's a little TV, and they'll watch Cartoon Network, but it's mainly, like, Teen Titans Go and
Well, I think
Clarence.
Part of that is the
it might be.
That it's
too weird.
Older, and they've been told that it needs to go on a little later in the day for, like, teenagers and older kids. I think it's, I like it. I think it's good, but, you know, the themes are a little much.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah, I agree. I understand. The other part of this segment that I want to talk about is books. Now, she was kind of not anti-book, but just not super into reading books for a little while. Like, kind of since we moved.
I think she kind of associated with bedtime.
Bedtime.
For a long time, we tried to do books in bed, and then she'd, like, try and scheme as many books out of you as possible to stay up, and then it was, like, the fight to get her to go to bed, and blah, blah, blah. And then I think for a long time she thought she couldn't read a book unless it was time to go to sleep.
Mm, that's possible. I didn't really think about that, but...
That
is true.
She doesn't like them when she's in them. And then she wants... The other problem is she gets one and she wants to read it 17 times. And
right.
We both go, oh, not this book again. And so I think that kind of maybe turned her off a little, too.
It's possible. Plus, TV is visual and loud and has noise and almost better, says the guy who makes all of his money writing stuff down. But a couple weekends ago, I thought it would be nice to take her on a little trip to Barnes & Noble. It was interesting because, unfortunately, Barnes & Noble, the kids section, is packed with toys, and so that was the first thing that she went to.
It stinks.
And I wanted to get her a book or two, and then I, kind of while we were there, I had the idea of getting, like, a little board book for Jack because he's very Terry, but he seems to like books to an extent. So after much back and forth and a splitting headache that I had to pause the time in the kids section and go to the coffee part and get a nice coffee for myself and then we could go back, and a lot of back and forth, she got a book that's basically Frozen Fever, the short.
It is Frozen Fever, yeah. It's like the whole story in book form.
And it's just like basically high-res screen caps
and it has stickers.
And it's got stickers. Or does that have the tattoos?
That one has stickers.
Okay. And then we also got a Inside Out book that tells about like a memory that Riley had from Sadness's point of view and from Joy's point of view. And you actually, it's a flip book. So you read one way through and it's Joy. And then you flip it over and you read it from the other side. And that one has
tattoos
inside. And she was really into those books for a while. And then when we were at your parents' house, she was really into the pop-up books.
Oh, yeah, that Olivia pop-up book.
And there's a fish one.
Yeah, the fish one. She loves those pop-up books.
And I think your mom gave us those to bring home, plus the Pokey Little Puppy, which we haven't read in a while, but she likes. But the funny thing about Jack's book, I got him... Oh, nuts. I can't remember what it's called. It's a little...
Oh, the Places You Go? Or Oh, the Things You Think? It's one of those.
That one.
It's Dr. Seuss.
Oh, the Things You Can Think, I think. And so it's not the full-size book, but it's a little tiny board book. And the funniest thing was that I gave it to him, and he was kind of looking at it, and I opened it up, and I was sitting with him, and I was reading it. And he just kept trying to... He put both of his fingers on it, like it was a Kindle or a phone, and just kept trying to move stuff around, and, like, I think he was trying to zoom in. Because if he sees a phone or a Kindle, which he saw, like, when we went to my parents' place, because we flew, and... they actually flew really well. Didn't even talk about that. But he would zoom in, and if you show him a picture on your phone, he always taps it and zooms in and moves it around as much as possible. And he kept trying to do it on the book.
It broke my heart a little, because we're both readers. And
yeah.
One child only wants books that has stickers and tattoos, and the other child treats it like an iPhone.
Yeah. But I mean, do you remember that video, like, 4 years ago where there was
that
little kid
with the iPad?
I think it was a magazine, and kept trying to, like... was so freaked out that it didn't do anything. But, I mean, you read on your phone almost exclusively, and I'm currently bouncing between... I'm reading the same book on my phone and in like, the actual book. So, I mean, we'll see. I mean, 4 is pretty early to know if they're going to be into reading. And they've got a ton of books.
They do have a ton of books.
When they do decide.
And I think next year I'm going to start them on Harry Potter. I'm pretty excited about it.
You think she's going to have the attention span to sit there... Well, you read a book.
Well,
I guess,
do
maybe.
Do bedtime at 5. Like, I think she'll be able to handle, like, a chapter an evening. If it's an interesting enough story, which it's Harry Potter, so it is.
So, you have a problem with Adventure Time, but the terrible treatment that Harry Potter must go through before he gets to Hogwarts, you're okay with.
Listen, when I was that age, my mom was reading us Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, so I feel like Harry Potter is okay.
I mean, those are elves.
Acceptable.
Dragons, whatever.
War.
All right.
By the time we get
to... Do not read them The Hobbit.
I will not read them The Hobbit.
Don't show them those super long, boring movies either.
I will show them the movies.
Fair enough. Did she watch the second? No.
No, they are too scary for her right now.
I think we almost did, and then we didn't, and we're glad.
Oh, did we start... No, we started something else with
Thor?
Her. She was... No, it was John Carter. We didn't know what it was going to be. We didn't know how the aliens were going to look so creepy, and she was like, ooh, ooh, and it's like, all right, let's turn this off.
Yeah, well, the movie starts with, like, a bloody battle on a bunch of...
like, crazy flying
spaceships
machines.
And stuff.
Yeah.
Good movie, by the way. You should check it out. Just probably not with your kids. All right, so the next section is toy time. On that same trip to Barnes & Noble, I did wind up getting her a Blind Box Funko Despicable Me 2 toy. They're these little mini pops, they're called. And she wound up getting Kyle the dog, which she was surprisingly okay with. And I sat with her, I was like, because she was drawn to the Minions. There's a whole Minions section, and it's up on the stage, which she already loves.
Yeah.
She wants to be up on the stage constantly. And so she had, after it was a little difficult, she was fine. And I figured I'd get her one. And I was like, now listen, the Minions set, you will definitely get a Minion. No problem. And there's no purple ones. She's scared of the purple ones from Despicable Me 2. I was like, the ones from Despicable Me 2... have a lot of people. You might get El Macho, you might get Gru, you might get blah blah. She got Kyle. She was surprisingly okay with it, and she played with
it
for a good amount of time ish for her. Another toy recently that she got was a plush Crypto from DC Collectibles. One of my contacts over there sent it to me. It was the exclusive that they had at San Diego, and I think they're going to have the mass market. Actually, I just saw a post about it today. And they're super cool, and she loves that. She still carries him around.
She loves Crypto.
He's been to several states already. He came from California, because that's where they mailed it from.
He flew to Michigan.
He came to us in New York, and he went to Michigan, and he went to New Hampshire, yes. I think, right?
And he had an extended stay in Michigan, because we forgot him there,
yes.
Outside.
He fell outside, and nobody noticed.
For a whole week.
And luckily, she didn't notice during that week, and double luckily, my parents went back.
And it didn't rain.
That weekend, yeah, and got it, and brought it back, and everything was fine. But the big toy right now for her is the Docmobile. Which she got from my parents for going to the potty on her own pretty much all of last week while my mom was here. Because we want her to be even more prepared for school. She's got potty training down. It's no problem. She hasn't even had an accident in a while.
She likes you in there, right. And getting the toilet paper for her. And then she wipes herself. But she can't possibly get the toilet paper herself. And she doesn't like to get on the potty herself, even though she can.
Right. It's even now, it's still a little iffy if she wants to do it herself. But she's got it down pretty good. So she got the Docmobile. It was funny when they brought it home like last Thursday, I think. Because we left Friday. Or no, it was last Friday. And I was kind of up the stairs and I came down and I couldn't quite see. She had been out with my parents and my parents had both come to bring her back. And Jack had been carried upstairs or whatever. And I didn't quite see Lucy. And then she like kind of walked in carrying this thing behind her, and it's pretty cool. I mean, it's a cool toy. It's made just like the cartoon, which is obviously the whole point. This is the Doc McStuffins thing that she can take with her so she can repair toys on the go, which is clearly something that they made just to sell a toy of.
Just like the Pet Vet.
Same with the Pet Vet, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's the thing that I do like about it is that it's giving her kind of the spark to play with other toys that she might not have, that she had kind of not played with for a while.
Yeah, so she's like treating her toys, that's right.
Right. It's almost like a play set, but it's a thing. And it's got some cool stuff. It has this roll of stickers, it's supposed to be Band-Aids. So now Crypto and some of the dolls all have various bandage stickers all over them.
They have Band-Aids, and then they have stickers for being good patients.
Ah, okay. So yeah, she's loving that. That also went to New Hampshire with us.
Yes.
And she played with it there. And so that one's pretty cool. I mean, the thing that like, I worry about a little bit is that she wants stuff so bad, like we talked about with the commercials. And then once she gets it, it's almost like it reminds me of the stuff that I see on the hoarding shows where, like, people are super into the quest of getting something. I mean, it's basically addiction behavior where you want to get the thing, and then once you get the thing, it doesn't really matter anymore. So in a weird extrapolate-y way, I'm a little bit worried about it. But, I mean, I think overall she's doing pretty good with that kind of stuff. Because she likes to play with it. I think she just got so much stuff that she doesn't remember what she has.
Oh, she has so much stuff.
That actually reminds me, I didn't tell you this before, she wanted to find her superhero Barbie today. She brought the little crown down, and she goes, "Daddy, where is this? This is the crown mask. It's right here on my little side table here." And so I stopped what I was doing, and I was helping her look. She goes, "Daddy, I go, did you look in the basket?" I looked right to the bottom, and it wasn't there. And so I walk out of my office into the living room, and I look in the living room, and every toy in the blue basket is out. She's got kind of a biggish blue basket. And then I went upstairs, and I was looking through the stuff in the playroom, which is basically a total mess at this point.
Did you look in the doll bin?
I looked everywhere. The doll bin was empty, so I think she'd already looked in there. I was looking. I found it, but I didn't tell her I found it. Because it was in... Do you remember that Disney Vacation Club bag we were sent or whatever?
Oh.
So...
That she uses as a diaper bag?
Yes. So, Superhero Barbie and Little Mermaid, I think, were in there. And I was like, awesome! But I didn't say anything right away, and I pulled them out. They've got these black smudges all over their face. Because I think what happened is that it gets so hot in our upstairs, and I think the color of the bag leached off onto their skin.
Oh.
So they look like they've been beat up.
Oh,
so I didn't say anything. I grabbed rubbing alcohol and I tried to do that and it didn't do anything. But I just looked up online and according to a bunch of people, if you get Clearasil Vanishing Acne Cream and rub it on, you got to be careful because it's got alcohol in it. I think a higher concentration of alcohol or something. That doesn't make sense. Rubbing alcohol. Whatever it has in it, it's supposed
rubbing
to take it out.
Alcohol and alcohol in your cosmetic is different.
Okay. So I'm going to get some and I'm going to see if it does anything.
It might take the paint off their faces.
Well, what they said it could. Well, okay. The way Barbies are made is that the plastic itself is that tannish, whatever the skin color is. And then the paint that goes on, so you're not going to get rid of that. The paint that goes on
the face paint.
Is, that's possible. So we'll see. I mean, she's not going to want, it looks like blackface.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's not good. It either looks like heavy facial bruising or blackface. So neither of those are good options.
Poor Barbie.
They're up on our dresser because I didn't want her to see it. And I didn't want to leave them in that bag. I'll try that out and I will let, listeners know if it works, but I don't know. For Jack, since he is trying to walk, one of the toys that he had gotten for his birthday, but I actually put in the garage, until recently, is the Little Tyke Big Dog Truck, I think it's called. And this is it's kind of a ride-on slash walk thingy.
Yeah, it looks like a big dump truck with a dog face.
I didn't even realize it had a dog face when
well,
I first...
Woofs.
Yeah, I realized that afterwards.
When it eats rocks.
Yeah, it's got
you
these
like
little...
push it, it like vacuums them up.
Yeah, they're like racquetball-sized gray boulders. And if you get the mouth section, if you roll over it, it goes into the body. And then if you pull this lever, it shoots them out the back like it's pooping.
Jack loves pulling the lever.
Yes.
So does Lucy.
The crazy thing about it is it's super loud. Like, shockingly loud. I bumped into it the other day, and it plays this, like, like 70s metal solo thing. But all in all, I like it. I think it's funny. I just wish it was a little bit quieter.
It is loud.
So loud. And I think he's into it, and I could definitely see him riding on it around once he can do that. The walking thing isn't super stable, though.
No.
So he's a little iffy on that one. Okay, so we're going to move into the food section of the podcast. Now, usually this might be about kind of recipes I'm trying or whatever, but since I have my very special guest here, we should totally talk about the garden that you set up here in the house, or at the house, not in it. That wouldn't work.
Could work.
I guess.
By a window.
It's hot down here. It's humid enough to grow, like, plant life.
So, I decided I want a garden, because we have a huge yard.
And so you got a 4x4 garden.
Well, I wanted to have a really big garden, but
right
around planting season, we had... What did we have going on? I don't even remember. We had a
everything?
Bunch of stuff going on.
Oh,
the birthdays. All the
birthdays
and stuff. And so, I just knew I wasn't going to have time to dig up. Like, get one of those... I wanted to rent, like a sod
like
cutter.
A tiller.
Yeah, and, like, really, like, till up, like, a big hunk of garden. I didn't have time for that, so we bought a 4x4 raised bed that I have put tomatoes and cucumbers and pickling cucumbers, and we fenced it for the deer, and then I also planted a bunch of herbs outside by the house.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and
it's
I planted
some,
green peppers
yeah.
in the garden, too. But the tomatoes, I had cherry tomatoes in full size. They totally drowned out my peppers, and I had to move them over by the herb garden. The herb garden is doing awesome.
Yeah. I've never seen so much basil from two plants or whatever.
Yeah, they're going crazy. I got two plants of basil this year because TJ always complains that we run low out of basil, and now we have, like, way too much basil.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I guess having too much basil is better than having no basil.
Three of my recipes this week have basil in them.
Woo!
Because, like, one pesto would knock out the entire, like, little tiny garden plant that we had
when we had at the condo, I would plant in a pot. And so, you know, there wasn't room for them to grow huge. Now that they're in the ground, they can kind of just, like, turn into a bush, which is really nice. And so the raised bed garden is doing great. We've gotten a lot of cucumbers. We got a lot of cherry tomatoes. And it makes me, next year I want to take that piece of garden and just put, like, extra plants in it and make that Lucy's snack garden because she really goes crazy. She ate almost all the cucumbers we got. Like, I don't
think...
Yeah.
Just plain or cut
yeah,
up.
Yeah, she would just, like, take them out of my garden. Like, I would be harvesting. She'd just take it out of the basket, and I'd look over, and she'd already be, like, biting into it.
Yep.
And they were really good cucumbers. So next year I'm going to have TJ and his dad build me, like, a bigger raised bed. So I'm actually pretty glad I didn't till up all the earth because I like the idea of a raised bed better.
Mm-hmm.
I would like it so it's like horseshoe shaped, so I don't have to walk through the garden. I can like lean over the edge. It'll be easier to fence too, because we're gonna have to fence it because the deer here are malicious. We have a pear tree, and the whole bottom, like 8 feet of the tree, have no fruit on it because the deer have eaten them all.
So do the crows. I came home near the door.
Every time I come home, they're like sitting around like Heckle and Jekyll.
No, I don't like them. You also set up a compost. We got a simple, like...
I got a compost
3x3 cube bin, yep. And we've just been...
The raccoons get into that.
Yeah. Not too bad, though.
Living in nature. Jerks.
Scary.
Yeah, the it's
terrifying.
The compost has been going really well. They say the way you can tell if it's working is if it, like, it gives off heat. And if I'm working in there, I can feel it. I can feel the warm. I don't think it's gross.
I mean, it's supposed to be gross.
It doesn't smell bad. And if it doesn't smell bad,
it's filled with bugs and muck. It's gross.
Well, I mean, it's got its own worms. I didn't have to put worms in it. The worms just found it. So that's a good sign. So you've had a good time. You've made a lot of stuff with the tomatoes. You used a cucumber in dinner tonight. You've been using the herbs a lot. We've had mojitos.
Yeah. And like you mentioned, Lucy loves... Today she was picking cherry tomatoes off of the thing as best she could through the kind of mesh fence that we have. And then she would run over and grab a piece of basil or a piece of mint and then wrap the herb around it, put it in. She was eating the leaves of the plants that we were buying when we first went out.
We had to tell her, like, not everything that grows and is green is edible, just in case, because you don't know. She just picks things off the ground and it's like, I'm chewing on this.
Yeah.
But... The tomatoes are great. They're sweet 100s, and they are, like, the best cherry tomato plant ever because they produce a bazillion, just like their name implies, and they're super sweet.
Yeah.
So they're really good just, like, eat off the vine. But they're good in cooking, too.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I've used them for, like, tacos, anything that needs tomatoes for a little while. And I've used them instead of, like, a can of crushed tomatoes, even.
Yeah,
I would just
they're really good.
Chop them up with a serrated knife. And then you also made pickles... A couple weekends ago.
Yes, I made 3 quarts of pickles, and we don't know how they taste yet, because, you know, they have to pickle. but they smelled really good. Lucy helped me put everything in the jars, and she was like, can I eat them now? Can I eat this cucumber? Can I eat this piece of dill? And it's like, no, don't touch it!
Yeah.
And so, they're in the fridge now. It's my first canning experience since, like, I was little, and I used to help my mom make jam. So I'm hoping it comes out good. I didn't, like, full can it. Like, you're supposed to, like, the USDA says you're supposed to have, like, an inch of water above the cap if you're going to pickle it and, like, keep it.
Should you be talking about this on the record?
Yes.
Should I bleep this out?
No. So they canned properly. I have a seal on them because I went up, like, an inch below. Oh, and now I'm keeping them in the fridge. So it's fine. We're not going to get
Pop-Pop Napcast is in no way associated with
botulism.
Anything that goes against the FDA.
It'll be fine. It's the USDA.
Whatever. That thing.
So, I think the garden's been really successful this year, and next year I'm looking forward to putting even more stuff in. I'd like to try some asparagus, maybe some kale and spinach. I'd like to put dill in. So,
yeah,
I'm really excited to expand the garden, because I think it was a really good success. Oh, zucchini. I want to do zucchini, so we can stuff zucchinis. I want to try some non-green peppers. Oh, my green peppers! I didn't say. We're finally maybe going to get, like, one per plant.
Our green pepper.
The tomatoes really killed those. Really, really weakened them. So by the time I moved them, they were already pretty sad.
There's one that's
I think we're going to get one pepper per, like, of my one each from my 4 plants.
So
we'll try those out.
And we bought, like, a super sad tomatillo plant for $1, and that didn't work
out. And a raccoon. There was one tomatillo on it, and some raccoon or something, a groundhog, came and ate my one tomatillo. Yeah. Jerks. Yeah.
So I've been, you know, with the garden in mind, in the herbs, I've been trying to kind of, like, tailor our meals towards that. Like, tonight, you mentioned the cucumber. We had some caramelized pork tacos, which was a first try. They were awesome.
Yep.
I would just cook more pork next time, really, because we've got, like, one serving left over. But I tried to incorporate that. And there was, like, a salsa that called for that... herb you don't like that's in salsa.
Oh, cilantro.
Cilantro. And so I never buy cilantro, I never use cilantro. A lot of people say you can just replace it with parsley, but with this pineapple salsa stuff, I threw some basil in it because I thought that would work well. And
I thought it was good.
It's nice having, like, the options there so you can taste it and think, like, oh, will this go well? And the cucumbers have been great. Like you said, they're super sweet. The ones that we can eat before Lucy gets them.
Few and far between.
Yeah. And I made, this, I kind of Frankensteined a an Italian dish out of a Mexican dish that I'll write a post about pretty soon.
That was really good.
I wrote down what I did, so hopefully I can remember what it all is and repeat it. But I used the two remaining big tomatoes that I could find. They're like underneath all of the other cherries,
yeah,
so
the
they were kind of hard
really
to find.
Took over.
But yeah, it's been great, and it's not something that I was super into, admittedly, and I didn't want to do anything besides put the box together.
And he barely wanted to do that.
Yeah.
Or and that, put the fence up.
The fence was hard because the ground is so rocky here. We need a much better plan for our fence next year. Maybe we can talk to our neighbors. Our neighbors kind of like diagonal to us have a gigantic garden.
They have a huge garden with a big, huge fence.
Yeah. So we'll steal their stuff and bring it over to our place.
Agreed.
Actually, our next door neighbors have it too.
Oh, that's
there.
Who you were talking about.
No, back over there.
Oh, nope.
Theirs is huge.
I never noticed.
What? Okay. So, that's neighbor talk. That's the end of that section of the podcast. So, I'm going to move into a slightly familiar portion of the show that I haven't done in a little bit, but I think it's kind of cool to do, and that's the Pop Papa Seal of Approval. You actually came up with the one this week, and I think it's totally awesome. It is the Kiddo Hide and Seek Disc. Now, the reason that I don't think people know about this thing is that, and especially this company, they make a lot of stuff that doesn't look... You don't know what it's supposed to do just from looking at it. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Aside from, like, their cars and a few other things. They have a lot of toys that, like, kids get or figure out or want to mm-hmm. play with, but I think parents probably don't. Because our friend used to work there, and she said that it... This hide-and-seek disc doesn't sell well. But what it is, it's kind of, it's like a boomerang with one more
Yeah, it's like a three-sided, and it's little. It's like
kind of a Y-shaped, almost.
Yeah, kind of like Y-shaped.
But every arm is the same size.
Yeah. It's like a triangle.
I'll post a picture.
And it's got, yeah, with, like, rounded ends.
Right. And there's a hole in the middle, and so when the baby turns the thing... One is like a picture of a monkey and a bird.
A monkey, an owl, and a mirror.
And then the mirror, and so they can see in. And you can, like, push the mirrors aside and show yourself through it. And, I, when we got it, because our friend gave us one, I was like, okay. But we gave it to him, and he loves it.
Yeah, so when I say that it has rounded ends, like, each end holds a disc. So as TJ said, like, as you turn it,
right.
like, a different disc pops into the middle. And so it's neat because it's like you don't even expect it, especially if you're a baby. You don't know where the disc is coming from. And so it's pretty cool as you spin it to have like different discs come in.
Yeah. And like you said, it rattles. Their stuff kind of does a lot of things that babies like. So it rattles. It's got the mirror. It's got the pictures. It's the main thing is white. The discs are colorful. So there's a lot that they like. And it's like one of the few things that he would... not throw out of his car seat immediately.
Yeah, it was a good car toy.
Yeah, and we gave it to him almost every time we went anywhere. Now, it's gotten a little stuck. I'm sure some juice or something has gotten
washing.
In there. So it doesn't move quite as well. But he loves it. And, I mean, really anything. If you've got a kid that is really tossy with his toys, like Jack is, it's a pretty good one to have. And that is why that gets the Pop Papa Seal of Approval for this week.
Ching.
Boom. And my buddy Ricky is working on an actual seal of approval for the Pop Papa Seal of Approval. So I'm gonna turn it into a vector and I'm gonna put it on the photos of the things. So it'll be an actual seal. It's gonna be a drawing of me with a thumbs up.
OMG.
I know, it's super awesome. I know everybody's super excited. I'm super excited about it.
You can sell that to people who wanna put it on their packaging.
Yeah. If you wanna pay me to say good things about your products, just let me know. Put a comment in the show notes. So I think that's about it for this 100th episode.
Where's the cake?
Oh, I ate it.
Oh.
I
love cake.
I shoveled it in my mouth. So, sorry. But I appreciate everyone for listening. I appreciate you for being my first guest on the show.
You're welcome.
I'm probably just going to have you on a lot more after this because...
That's fine. I have so many things to say.
I know.
We didn't even talk about some things that I can
Oh my god, we'll have to hold... Don't...
I'm not gonna
unless you want to tease. Do you want to drop a tease?
No, because by the time we do it, like, we'll not... it won't be relevant anymore.
It probably will be. I don't see myself actually being able to make the time to talk to somebody else about parenting stuff during the days. But we'll
see.
So
I'm just going to be your co-host now?
I think so. I think this is just the thing. I'm not changing the title, though. Sorry. But, Emily, thank you for being on the show. This is the Pop Papa Nabcast episode 100. If you want to check out the show notes for this episode, head on over to poppapa.com. That's poppapa.com. If you want to read my pop culture ramblings, you can head on over to United Monkey, which is monkee.com.
Oh, I was going to rep myself when you were done.
Yeah, okay. I was going to give you a chance. Jeez, no, I'm not a monster. I'm on Twitter at Papa Deitch, which is poppadietsch. And you are on
Instagram. Twitter and go Instagram. Check my Twitter, because I'm only on there when D23 is happening. My Instagram is rhymes with peach. Just like it sounds.
Yep.
If you can spell rhymes.
I am not on Instagram because I can only handle one social media thing at a time, I think.
That's, I handle Instagram for the family. So if you want to see the children, that's pretty much the only thing that goes on.
Unless you're a weirdo, and then stop it.
I can block people. It's cool.
Yeah, sucker. So that's it. Thanks for listening, and have a good one.